Lord Jesus, I pray that each one of us would hear what you're saying to us today. Lord, I believe that you want to continue to challenge us, to continue to encourage us to grow, show us where we're needing to grow, those places that maybe we're discouraged. I know that you want to build us up. In those places that we are maybe hardened to, that you're saying, hey, these need some change. Would you help us to hear that challenge? Lord, I pray that you'd talk to us today. I guess as I'm thinking about that, Lord, I think that so much of the time, I need your correction, because I know I'm not who you want me to be yet. And yet sometimes I think maybe I miss what you're saying, because I think sometimes you really do want to encourage us along the way. You want to cheer us on, and sometimes that's hard for me to understand or hear. Or would you help us just to hear what it is that we need? We want to know you better. We want to know about you. We want to know what you think about us. Help us to understand more today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this last week, in reflecting on the sermon of the week before, the challenge that I was having is, okay, so what did I talk about last week, and how does that work into my life throughout this week? And the statement that was made last week that I just have just kept kind of going through is that he will lead you into all truth. He will lead you into all truth. And that was almost that lifeline through my week. Not that I was going through a terrible week. I just, I needed that reminder. Hey, he will guide us into all truth. Whatever I'm facing today, whatever is going to happen, he's going to lead me into all truth. And what I recognized in my life was more peace. Okay? I don't remember what I shared first service or second service last week, but what I shared at some point last week was I was just feeling like crabby and stressed out and not sure why. I was just kind of irritated, and through the morning I kind of felt like God just kept saying to me, hey, I got this. Who's bigger, your stuff or me? And so in that each day of reminding myself, he will guide you into all truth, it's like this weight kind of lifted off. Now, can I say that I wasn't crabby a few moments? No, because I don't know if you know this, but Sabrina and I are kind of, got something on the schedule here in the next few weeks. So we're leading the district event at taking a group of people down to Phoenix for the national conference, the Nazarene Youth International. And so it's been a little stressful getting some details and trying to get everything done. And we leave today. So during the worship time, we're going to pull the teens that are coming and the adults that are joining us from our church. We're going to pray for them. So please stick around for that, all right? But anyways, that's kind of been a stress for me. And when people are relying on you to get a place and get fed and everything else, it's kind of stressful. So I needed to keep listening to that voice. He will lead you into all truth. So we're going to go ahead and go back to our passage today. It's found in John chapter, mostly John chapter 16, just the end of 15. My challenge to you is I want you to, as we read through this, just listen for things. Maybe there have been points where you're like, oh yeah, I remember we talked about that, and God, you said this to me. And maybe notice, is there a place or two or three times in the passage that you're like, I kind of need to think about that some more. I didn't understand it quite right, or I'm not sure it was clear to me. So maybe you would go back to revisit that part of the passage. All right.
Well, starting in verse 26 of chapter 15 of John, this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify. For you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Wow, that's pretty drastic, isn't it? What is he? Think about what he's telling them. There's a time coming when if somebody kills you, they're going to think they're doing God a favor. What would you be thinking if Jesus was saying that to you? Well, wait a minute. I don't know, we were dealing with killing me or something like that. Well, anyway, okay. I've told you this. Oh, wait, sorry. Verse 3. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, when they throw you out of the synagogue, when they kill you, so when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you now can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So each week, as I've read this passage and worked on it, something new stands out or looks different to me, and it captures my attention. It hasn't been very sequential, I will admit. As we've gone through this, we've jumped from the top to the bottom to the middle, and we've kind of moved around a little bit in there. That's because I'm kind of random myself, okay? And God works with me and in me like that. And so I hope you guys are hanging on for the ride, okay? So we're jumping around a little bit again today, and maybe even when I get back from the trip, we'll jump around a little more, all right? That sounds a little strange, but anyway. What we're going to look at today was we're going to start at verse 14. He makes the statement, he will glorify me. Verse 14, he will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Now, last week, we looked at that statement, and what we kind of figured was, is in understanding what Jesus was saying there, is he was wanting his disciples to be able to trust that the Holy Spirit was going to lead them. Look, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to do what I'm telling him to do. He's going to tell you what I want him to tell you. You can trust what the Holy Spirit is going to do, because he's from me, all right? But I can't help but pause for after reading those words, he will glorify me. He will glorify me. Remember what we've been looking at. We've been looking at, well, what can we expect of the Holy Spirit? We oftentimes have some expectations of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit will do, what the Holy Spirit should do, right? We've seen that in our lives when we think the Holy Spirit should talk to somebody about something so you don't have to. You've probably never had that conversation with God, right? God, why don't you send your Holy Spirit to talk to them about that? And usually his response is, that's because I'm sending you. And there's other times where we don't ask that question. We just go and we act like the Holy Spirit when God's not sending us. Okay. But a good expectation of what the Holy Spirit is going to do, we're going to find it in Scripture. And Jesus maps this out. Here are some things that you can expect. You can expect that He will lead you into all truth, because that's what Jesus told us He was going to do. We can expect that He's going to convict us, correct us. We can expect that He's going to give us identity, that He's going to remind us of whose we are and who we are. We can expect that He is with us, period. He's been given to us. Jesus promised us that He will give us the Holy Spirit. We receive Him. One more expectation. We can expect that whatever the Holy Spirit does, He is going to glorify Jesus. Oftentimes, we think of terms of, well, the Holy Spirit, what can the Holy Spirit do for me? Rather than, what is the Holy Spirit going to do? What are the right expectations of the Holy Spirit? The right expectations of the Holy Spirit aren't what the Holy Spirit's going to do for you. The right expectations are, what is the Holy Spirit going to do? The Holy Spirit has been sent, and one of the things that He will do is glorify Jesus. In all He does, wherever He leads, it will be glorifying to Jesus. We need that to sink in. It will not be to glorify you. It won't necessarily be to what you think is your advantage. It will be glorifying to Jesus. I don't know that I actually always have that expectation. Now, something I do as I'm talking this morning, and I try to do this, and some of you guys might not realize this, so I'm going to share it with you a little. There are thoughts that go on in my head that I operate over on, and if I never say those thoughts, then sometimes I don't even realize that's what I'm operating by. Does that make any sense to you? Once I verbalize it, I can go, oh, that's why I do what I'm doing, or that's what's going on in my head, and I can go, well, that's dumb. Or, oh, that's right, that makes sense. And so I can either be encouraged or corrected. I come across this word, this statement, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. And I begin to think, I don't know if I've always think that way. I mean, I think there are times that my expectation is the Holy Spirit will lead me to my success. I mean, I think I actually function this way. And the minute I say it, I think that sounds preposterous, right? The Holy Spirit's going to lead me to my success. No, the Holy Spirit, in whatever He does, is going to glorify Jesus. There are times in my head I think that if I'll just obey what He's telling me, all my plans are going to work out the way that I think they should work out, the way that I want them to work out. You're probably sitting here. Wednesday night I was saying that, and there was somebody in the crowd going, and I don't know if they were shaking their head because they think that's, you know, I shouldn't think that way either, or if they were looking at me like, boy, you really need to grow up. I know better. And yet this thought kind of runs in the back of my head. Because here's why I know it happens. Because when I do when I obey and things don't turn out the way I wanted them to or the way I thought they should, you know what I think? I think, God, what's wrong? Why didn't this work out the way I thought it was going to work out? Some of us who give financially. Have you ever maybe had this thought, you tithe and then your car breaks down or something happens and you think, God, I was tithing, why is this happening? No, I'm probably the only one that thinks that, okay? Somewhere in the back of my head runs this thought that if I will just do what the Holy Spirit is leading me to, everything's going to work out for me the way I want it to. So when things don't work out, we have these options in our head. The number one option, which I sometimes lean on, is the Holy Spirit misled me. That's dumb. I know. That's dumb, right? But sometimes that thought works in my head. It's almost as though I say something to God like, "You did this to me." Sometimes when things don't happen the way I think they should or the way that I want them to, I don't go to that option. I go to the option of this. Well, I must have messed up the instructions. I go back and I think, okay, but he told me to do this, I did that. And he told me to do this, and I did that. Maybe I messed it up somewhere along the way. Am I alone in this? Is this the way? Do you realize what that's revealing is? That we have some expectations that maybe aren't right? That what we think the Holy Spirit is going to do and what the Holy Spirit actually is going to do are different. So I want to introduce an option C. Okay? Instead of those two options, this one's bizarre, okay? And when I say bizarre, because I think this thought comes to my head: my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. So option C is, through this, the Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus. I mean, is it possible? When things don't happen the way you think they're going to happen, when you did everything you thought you were supposed to do, rather than it being the Holy Spirit's fault, rather than being that you messed up the instructions somewhere and you just didn't do right, but could it possibly be that instead what the Holy Spirit is doing is he's got a plan to bring glory to Jesus? What if it's not about my success? What if it's not about things working out the way I want them to? What if this happens to me? What if it seems like it made things worse? And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit was doing. I mean, is that possible? Is it possible that we could be obedient to the Holy Spirit and he could lead us in a way that things get even more complicated and messy in our minds, in our perspective? Well, this obviously can't be what God wanted because it's getting worse. I mean, I'm sure God's up there going, "Whoa, I didn't even think about this. Wow, we really got the water muddy now. Whoops." Now remember something. He's good. God is good. God is good. Oh, do you believe that? So when things get more messy, is he still good? What if messy glorifies Jesus? Now, those of you that like everything in order and you put your files away in a file cabinet and, you know, the trunk of your car is never messy, you're not going to like this. But is it possible that what we define as messy isn't messy to God? But when it looks like it's messy, that's exactly what his plan was. That Jesus can be glorified in this. See, what happens in the middle of all this, when things start to get worse and things don't work, you know, we have this thought in our head that we're responsible for the results. See, this is where it goes wrong, is, okay, Holy Spirit, I did what you said, and it's not turning out. I'm responsible to make it work. It's my job now to force this into what it's supposed to be. Really, what we're saying is, look, God, okay, let me take it from here, because obviously you've messed it up, and I got to fix it now. We begin to take on our shoulders the responsibility of the results. Our job is to be obedient. We're obedient and the relationship seems to get worse. It's not our job for the relationship to get better. Our job is to be obedient. Maybe it's something at work and your boss tells you to do something that's not right and you decide to do something that's right instead and you lose your job. Was it your job to save your job? Was it your job to be obedient? How many times in our lives do we decide to take on the responsibility of the results rather than the obedient piece? Do you realize how much weight that puts on us when we are trying to be in control of the results? When we're trying to control the situation by being obedient? Because that's usually what we tend to do. I've got to control the situation, so I'm going to be obedient. No, we're being obedient because the Holy Spirit is leading you a certain direction. It's God's job to take care of the results. Your job is to be obedient. Through this, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, will bring glory to Jesus. Option C. I don't know why it's turning out this way. I don't know why it's not working out. But through this, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Through this, the Holy Spirit is going to shine a light on Jesus to be a display of His resurrection power, to be an example of His life-changing power. See, we bought into this lie that says it's our success that will be the most convincing evidence that to the world of what Jesus can do. Can I say that again? We've bought into this thought, this idea, this lie that says it's when we succeed, that's going to convince the world that they need Jesus. It's your successes that are going to convince the world that they need Jesus. Some of you might be sitting here going, well, yeah. Right? How would the world ever be convinced about Jesus by my failure? What do we expect the Holy Spirit to do? Is our expectation the Holy Spirit is going to glorify Jesus? We got this idea that if our life is falling apart, that doesn't make Christianity look very good. I mean, if things don't go smoothly, if I don't put on this nice little mask and show that, you know, life's good, Jesus is going to look bad. Because we think that our job is to make Christianity look appealing. Can we just pause for a minute? What did Jesus warn the disciples about? Hey, when they try to kill you and think they're doing me a favor, don't fall away. I'm sorry, that does not sound appealing, does it? Oh, we got to make sure no one sees that. See, I think we've listened to Proverbs chapter 3 and misinterpreted it. We've read this. Trust in the Lord and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We've read it. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make you rich. He's going to make your kids love Jesus. He's going to make your marriage perfect. He's going to make you have the perfect job. Your car's always going to work. Sorry, that one's always on my mind. All right? That everything's going to work out for you. That is not what the proverb says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. No, we think, no, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you're going to lead us around the valley of the shadow of death. We're not going to go through it. That isn't what we're told. You know what I think? I think we buy into the lie because we want to believe that Jesus cares about our comfort. I think that's what we... come on. God, you care about my comfort, right? I mean, that's what's important. How much comfort did Jesus have on earth? I mean, when you picture Jesus going from location to location, did he have one of those seats that he sat in and his disciples put him up on his shoulders and he entered the city in royalty? Or did he walk everywhere he went? How much comfort did he have? To be honest with you, I don't have a clue. I don't know how much comfort he lived in, but I do know this. He told us, foxes have homes. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. How important is our comfort? I mean, it would be awesome if Jesus says, listen, here's what you can expect from the Holy Spirit. I wish he said this. I wish he said, listen, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to always lead you away from harm. I wish what he would have said is, here's what you can expect of the Holy Spirit, that he will always give you the instructions that will benefit you. Now, that's a tricky one, okay? Because we're the ones that define benefit. We're the ones that say, well, this is what it looks like to benefit me. Can I ask you something? Who is really glorified when life goes your way? Who's really glorified when life goes your way? Kind of cheating for you. Who's glorified when life goes your way? You are. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, will glorify Jesus. Now, the real tricky part is, it is to our benefit. It absolutely is to our benefit when Jesus is glorified. Listen to these words. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. I don't like the way that starts. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work. But I'd like to get out sooner so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Who's benefiting? We are. Who's glorified? Jesus. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Do you hear a theme here? Well, let's keep going. 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me, it's 2 Peter if you go looking. It's 2 Peter. I messed that up. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. The only time you need self-control is when you're in a situation that requires it. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Perseverance. Things not going well. Life being messy. Glorifies Jesus. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection. I wish he stopped there. And participation in his sufferings. Becoming like him in his death. What can we expect? Jesus being glorified. You hear that list? Suffering, perseverance. I like this, mutual love or mutual emotions or mutual respect leads to love. You know what I hear in that? Those people that you can't stand, that one day you actually go, oh, I gotta just have mutual affection. And then I'm going to be pushed to actually love them. Yeah, that's not comfortable. We are constantly being guided out of comfort for what's best for us, to glorify Jesus. You know, the hardest time to follow God is usually when it's smooth sailing. In my life, when things start going well, guess what I do? I grab a hold of the wheel. I'm like, okay, I got this now. I know where we're going. The wind's at my back. There's no waves in front of me. Perfect. Thanks, God. And the spotlight is on me. Jesus is glorified more accurately when we live out our faith. When it's tested and it's proven. That was defining that one, all right? When we display self-control. Jesus is glorified when we display self-control, when we persevere, when we show love even when it isn't easy, when we are people of character, Christ-like character. What glorifies Jesus? When we live out our faith. When we persevere, when we show self-control, when we have godly character, when we love each other. Because the Holy Spirit is pointing to Jesus when we shine, even though life is hard. This morning I was reading in Oswald Chambers. He says this, if we are going to live as a disciple of Jesus, we have to remember that all efforts of worth and excellence are difficult. The Christian life is gloriously difficult. But its difficulty does not make us faint and cave in. I want to pause for a minute. When we live like this, this is when Jesus is glorified. This is when Christianity looks good, when we don't cave in. It stirs us up to overcome. Do we appreciate the miraculous salvation of Jesus Christ enough to be our utmost for His highest, our best for His glory? The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Now we're going to go up to the top. We're going to go back up to verse 27 and look at what he says. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. You will be tempted to fall away. I mean, did you hear what's going to happen? When you're thrown out of the synagogue, when they are killing you, you're going to be tempted to give up. You're going to be tempted to go, Jesus, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't the way I thought things were going to happen. Things aren't going for my benefit, it doesn't look like. The Holy Spirit is testifying when your life gets messy. And you must testify. That's what he says. You must testify. You also must testify. Life is going to get, life is going to present you with circumstances that make it easy to quit rather than keep up the faith. Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. He will testify about Jesus. And you also must testify. Now, that part is the part that caught me. You also must testify. Now, from time to time, I'll be honest, the NIV will do a translation of something, and I go, oh, is that really what it means? And so I'll grab some other translations, and I look at them. Some of the other translations have translated that phrase, you also must testify to this, you will testify. Now, that one seems like it softened it a little bit. Another translation says, you shall testify. Okay. Another translation says, you are to testify. If we were to go word for word translating that statement, you also must testify, what you would find is that what it says is, also, you now bear witness. That changes it for me. Now, there is an imperative tone to it. You now bear witness. Meaning, as you go through life, you are bearing witness. Right now, you are bearing witness. The question is, how are you handling it? How are you handling what life is throwing at you? When you're thrown out of the synagogue, we're not going to throw you out of the church, okay? When you're thrown out of the synagogue, how are you handling it? Is your life testifying? When they kill you, is your life testifying? We look at this, we know what happened historically, right? The persecution of the Christians, and what happened alongside of the persecution of the Christians? The church was growing in leaps and bounds. Because even though life was going terrible for the Christians, people were like, I want that for me. They weren't going, look, the Christians are all getting rich, I want to be one. Somewhere in our heads, we think that. No, they were going, look, the Christians are getting killed, but look at them. They're willing to die for this. Look, their life is, it looks like it's out of control, and they have something I want. Who's glorified? Jesus is glorified. The Holy Spirit will bring glory to Jesus. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit leads you through life, if you will obey, your life will glorify Jesus. You know what? The people that have encouraged me along the way, the ones that have encouraged me in my faith the most, are the ones that I've seen go through difficult times and continue to love Jesus. Think about it. Who are the ones that have challenged you in your walk the most? Spurred you on? The ones when life doesn't go well and they continue to praise Him. Those are the ones that get my attention. The ones that persevere. The ones that live out their faith. The ones that continue to hang on to hope. Through their lack, their defeat, they do not become negative. See, when we take on the victim mentality, the entitlement mentality, the woe is me mentality, we are a terrible, terrible witness. But when life isn't going right, and we persevere, we bring glory to Jesus. You know what? The people that don't encourage me that much in my faith are the ones that everything seems to work their way. They've got the Midas touch. You know what? I see that. I don't think, well, praise Jesus. Everything's working for them. I'm sorry. I'm shallow. I'm selfish. It's true. I go, why can't that work for me? Jesus isn't glorified. The world doesn't look at that and go, wow. But when we hang on to our faith, when our life looks like it's falling apart, people notice. People want Jesus if that's what He does. That's the type of person that spurs me on. Who we are is a testimony. It is our testimony. Because the gospel is not just some cold, hard facts. The gospel isn't just this story that we tell. The gospel is what He does in our lives as we live it out. It's a relationship that people notice. You are now a witness. The question is, who is glorified in your witness? There will be time for words. Your words are important. But not without your life speaking it. I've changed a little direction since Wednesday. And so you got like a blank that I'm not covering. You can fill it in because some people can't stand the blanks, okay? Witnessing is not something you do, it's who you are. Because His Spirit is within you. You are His witness. Not because you went out and told somebody about Jesus dying for your sins. You're His witness because of what He is in you. Because we know Jesus, we are His witness. Remember, we're not responsible for the results. We're just supposed to be obedient. We're responsible to tell others with our life and our lips what we have seen. I shared part of what Oswald said today in the devotional. Let me finish. It says this: thank God that he does give us difficult things to do. His salvation is a joyous thing, but it is also something that requires bravery, courage, and holiness. It tests us for all we are worth. Jesus is bringing many sons to glory. And God will not shield us from the requirements of sonship. God's grace produces men and women with a strong family likeness to Jesus Christ. Not pampered, spoiled weaklings. It takes a tremendous amount of discipline to live the worthy and excellent life of a disciple of Jesus in the realities of life. And it is always necessary for us to make an effort to live a life of worth and excellence. So last week my challenge was evaluate the Holy Spirit's role in your life. Start your day with this thought of, okay, he's going to lead me in truth. Am I trusting that? Am I believing that? Have I been? That he will guide you into all truth. Today, my challenge as you go through this week, start your day with that thought. Today, he will guide me into all truth. My challenge this week is to end your day asking the question, how is Jesus glorified in or through me today? What if we ended our day asking that question? Not so we beat ourselves up, but so we can actually stop and go, okay, did I even think about this today? Was my motivation so things worked out for me, or was my motivation so that Jesus was glorified? Because we know one thing, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Will you? Let's pray.